they murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, we're back, baby dolls. We're here. It's almost the preseason. We are just a few days away. Training camp is in full swing. The Call is officially back for the season. What's going on, guys? Did you miss us? I know you missed us. Josh and I miss doing this show. Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Shoot, man. It's been a while. Welcome back. The Call's back, baby, as you always say. how you doing, man? I know we've been chatting over the summer. Been doing a lot of activities. Been keeping up on the gram. I know me and you were together over the summer, partaking in some Jimmy's events with some EW and met the lady friend. I know you guys have been out and about doing your thing, but it seems like you're having a good summer. Good time off.
I'm having a really good summer, but I mean, you jumped out of a friggin' plane.
Yeah,
like whatever I did pales in comparison to you jumped out of a friggin' plane. Like, you called me a week before you jumped out of this plane, and you were like, "Hey, so next week, guess what I'm doing?" I'm like, "What are you doing?" I'm jumping out of a plane, and I just said, "On purpose?" And like, yeah, you were fully into it, and So what was your experience? So you went skydiving for the first time. Tell me about that.
I don't even know where to start. First of all, I'll just set the stage. I've been wanting to do this, man, for quite a while. I'm more the adventure guy. You know, I've done, you know, whitewater rafting, kayaking, and I've always wanted to do something like this. I've been talking about this for years, right? My coworkers backed me up. They're like, "Yeah, you've been talking about this." So the opportunity presented itself. I was on vacation towards the end of July, and I was like, "What do I want to do? I want to do something wild and crazy." And I literally sat there in my house and was like, "What's the craziest thing you've done lately?" I'm like, "Really don't know, you know?" And I'm like, "I've done some crazy things over the past years, but nothing like this extreme." So, and for all those who don't know, obviously they know my sober walk. I'll be 10 years sober this year. And be honest with you, man, I was like, "What do I do to commemorate that?" Right. And I was kind of like, you know, I can go out to eat. Right. You know, I always treat myself to Gordon Ramsay steak sometimes for my birthday or whatever special occasion. And I'm like, "Why spend a couple $100 on a dining experience?" I'm like, "You can buy a $100 steak," but I'm like, "You got to do something weird, wrong, crazy." Right. So the opportunity to present itself. And I was like, what better way to commemorate by celebrating 10 years by pretty much jumping 10,000 feet out of an airplane. So the description of Baltimore Skydive is with the facility I used. It was, you know, 120 miles an hour, free fall, you know, dropping 10,000 feet. And I'm like, "Yes, let's do this." So, bro, and you saw the videos and pictures. You can't replicate that. The instant reaction of the feeling, I wasn't scared at all. I actually treated the morning of just like a normal day. Like, I thought I would be up late. I was in bed before midnight. Like, I thought I'd be like, "Oh, I can't sleep and I'm pamped." I slept from maybe like midnight to 7 a.m. So I get to the airport where we do it. And immediately, as I was parking my car, I saw a shadow and a parachuter literally just went right over the parking lot. And I saw him land. And I'm like, "What? This is wild." And I'm like, already like all in, all invested. There was two nervous parts, and I'll share with you this. And for all those who didn't see the photos, if you didn't, please shout out to us on the call. I can certainly post some of the stills and maybe even post a video on the call Facebook if you're not, didn't see it on my personal page. But the first oh crap moment was when I was leaving the house. It didn't dawn on me. And of course, I was like, I pet my dog, Max. I was like, "I'll see you later, buddy." And I shut the door. And I stood outside the door and I was locking the door, Brandon. I was like, I went right back in. I unlocked the door and I went back in and gave Max a big hug. And was like, "I'll see you later, buddy." And gave him like a big old pet. And kissed him, was like, "Love you, man." And I shut the door again for a second time and dawned on me, I'm like, this could be the last time I leave my house. Like, and then I snapped out of it. Like, I didn't get all like, oh my God. Like, but it's reality, right? Because you're skydiving.
I mean, that's anytime you get in the car or go to work, anything like that, it could be the last time every time.
Especially since, yeah, I've seen some crazy accidents in the last few weeks with these storms and, you know, your prayers got to all those involved. I just passed an accident yesterday. There was a shock trauma helicopter involved. So, I mean, you just never know, man. And so that was my only old crap moment. The second one, when I was up in the plane, when I got in the plane, I was the first to board. So I'm thinking like, watch me, I'm going to be the first one out of this sucker. Nope, I was first to board. So I was like, all right, we're good to go. I'm not going to be the first off. There's four of us jumping, there was two first timers, including me, and then two people that did it before out of four. We went up. I was third out of fourth out of plane. It was one person that went prior that did it before, it was her second jump. Then the first timer went, then I went, and then the guy behind me was the fourth guy out of the plane. He did it before too. So we're up in the plane, Brandon. I'm boarding. I'm thinking like I'm going on like a Ravens road trip. I'm like looking at the window and I'm like just calm as can be, relaxed. And in the video, you can hear the instructor go, how you feeling, man? I literally looked at him. I was like, I'm relaxed, calm. I'm ready to go. Like, I guarantee, bro, if you took my heart rate, it was probably calm. It was weird. Like, I was, like, really eerily calm. Like, okay. But when we got to the – when we opened the doors, it was, like, really refreshing. You know, again, you never really been on an airplane with the door open, so it's really crazy, right? They open the door and you're like, there's a big hole in the airplane, right? But it's in the summer breeze, it was really obviously warm that day. It was cool air. It felt really, really refreshing. It was pretty awesome. We get 2 miles up, you know, and when he brings me to the edge of the plane, I'm thinking like you would just like lean out and fall out like together. He pretty much gets to the edge and then, bro, I'm in the little, obviously I'm like strapped to him, like little Carlos from Hangover. That's what I felt like. Like, I'm like, yay. And I get to the edge of the plane. I'm pretty much hanging out of the door. Like my feet are like, again, outside the plane. I pretty much like my body's like completely out. And I was kind of like at that same time, I think it was like that oh crap moment. And then we like rolled and you can see in my still photos, what was so wild and crazy about the experience is when we jumped out of the plane, Brandon, we like fell forward and I rolled to the right and I can see the GoPro, what the instructor is using. And I see the plane out of the corner of my left eye. And I'm like, at that point, I'm like, we just jumped out of that. And I'm upside down. And then I see blue sky. And then I turn around and then I see the ground. And then we like stabilized. And I would literally just like, we just did a barrel roll in midair. Like it was just like wild. Like it happened so quick. And then the parachute.
I gotta tell you, I'm not trying to make fun in any way. But I have not laughed that hard seeing your face as you exit the plane. I literally laughed out loud, which I never do.
That reaction.
And like, I showed my mom, I showed my aunt, I showed my girlfriend, I showed everyone I could. I'm like, look at what Josh did and look at his face. Like at this point, if that was me, like I'd have to bring like a change of underwear or something because I would have just lost it. But like you, there's like is sheer terror on your face, but at the same time, you're like so into it and so excited. But there's like a millisecond of you going like, oh my God, what did I just do? And it's then like that you just fear. Enjoy the ride. Yeah.
It's kind of like what it equates to. You've done this before in amusement parks, right? It's like with the roller coasters. You've been on all the roller coasters before, but they snap your photo and you get that like that look, right? You get that split second look of like that. It looks like you're scared, but you're not because it was like, because I never experienced it before. And it was just like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like when we righted and we were falling, I literally was like staring at the ground and I'm like, I can't believe we're like your mind was like saying like I can't believe we're falling. Then when the parachute opens, it's like a big air brake. You stop. I mean, you're traveling 100 plus miles an hour as a tandem, and then all of a sudden, you pull your chute, and you're like, then it's just like quiet, and all you can hear is the wind, and you're like, wow, and then just floating. It's a surreal experience. At no one point was I scared. What I found funny about the experience, you wouldn't think that this was funny, but I wouldn't say it was concerning. It just was like, I literally thought it was funny because I didn't know what to expect. So I'm thinking like we would do like a half hour, an hour training and the trainers would, no, it was like literally a minute. We strap into the harness pre-flight and Brandon, the instructor goes, okay, when you jump out of the plane, hold on your harness like this. Then when I tap you on the shoulder in midair, you spread your hands out like this and your feet and you arch your back. And then when we get ready to land, just put your feet up. I'm like, he's like, that's it. I'm looked at him. I'm like, that's it. Goes, yeah, it's three things. I'm like, that's it. Like, I literally was like, that's all there is to it. And that's what eases your mind about it. Not that I want to, I mean, I would love to talk people into doing it because I would love a big group to go. I actually want to do it again. The moment I landed, I literally was like, can we do that again? That was wild. But what eases your mind too is when you're waiting, you're seeing other people do it. Like, you're talking to people, they literally go in the plane, they go up in the air, and you see them parachute down. And I'm like, that's easy. Like, that's all it takes. But what eases your mind, or what eases my mind about it, is the instructor does all the heavy lifting for you, bro. It's, you know, they strap you in, you're not touching the straps, you're not doing any adjustments. And then he buckles you in, he does pulls everything in together. And then when he's outside of plane, like, they're the one ripping the cord for the chute. You know, they're handling the whole landing. They handle everything. Cause like, I got to control the reins of the parachute and control it in midair. But as we got closer to the ground, he's like, I'm going to take the reins back from you. And he brought me in, and it was a really smooth landing, as obviously got video of that. One of the most surreal, cause you asked me how it was, all that being said, with my experience, it was the most surreal feeling, thrill of a lifetime. You can't replicate. I said it in the video, you can't replicate this feeling. It was an adventure of a lifetime, just something that you just obviously don't normally do. A lot of folks are like, you know, and when obviously they saw that as a surprise, I didn't tell many folks about it because I wanted to do it for me with my sobriety walk and commemorate that. It was an intimate moment for myself, because I feel like if I'd have put it out there like, hey guys, I'm on vacation, I'm going skydiving, who wants to go? I didn't want a big group to go. And then not only that, but I didn't want to mess with my mental psyche, right? It's like,
right,
there's a reason why I'm doing this, you know, and I wanted to do it for me. And when I share that with a few folks, they're like, I understand. Cause like, some people are like, why didn't you tell me? I would have went with you. I'm like, that's exactly why I didn't share anything on Facebook or social media. Because I was like, sorry guys, but I didn't want anybody to partake in it. I've always wanted to do this and wanted to do it for me. And I didn't want that person to get all excited with me and then go at that last moment, psych out. Because my coworker did tell me a story. Her and her husband went up. She jumped, her husband chickened out in the airplane. He didn't jump. So it can happen. So it's like, I didn't want that to happen. And then be like, well, if they're scared, I didn't want to go for that back and forth nonsense. Now that I've experienced it, and I certainly want to jump again, I wouldn't mind definitely getting a big group and going. And then, hey, I can certainly, my mind will be way more at ease because I've already did it and I know what it takes to do it. But I just feel like if it's something you've always talked about, obviously I made it one piece. I would recommend it, being that somebody's done it before. I mean, I appreciate you asking. I'm glad we're leading off with that, cause I certainly wanted to share it with you. And I haven't really documented my reactions other than just like when people ask me after the words, when they call me on the phone or whatnot, or if I see my purse, I'm like, I share it exactly how I did it. But, you know, it's great to talk about. I seriously can't believe I did it. But as you see in the photos, well worth the price of admission. You just can't get that anywhere else, man. It, like I said, it was thrill of a lifetime, man. Thrill of a lifetime. Like, wow. Like, I hate to say this, but like, it was better than how I felt when the Ravens won in 2012, when Ray Lewis went on retirement. Like, it's because it's a different feeling. You're plus it's a challenge to yourself. It's like, you're overcoming something, you're doing something out of like complete like faith. And that's basically what I did it for too. Not only commemorate my sobriety walk, but just at this point with all the chaos going on with what we understand with COVID and all that, it's like, you just got to have faith and let go and understand everything's going to be okay. And that's what skydiving's about. It's like, you got to trust the instructor. You got to let go of all your fears and just like, and it was complete freedom. I mean, I'm free falling out of the sky 5,000 feet and I'm floating in a parachute the rest of the way. It was like sheer freedom, dude. It was like nothing I've ever experienced and you can never experience on this earth, man. So I say, if listeners out there, if you ever want to talk about doing it, by all means, go out there and have the adventure of a lifetime. It's awesome.
Well, let me tell you, you do sell it really well. I can tell, like, it was a life-changing experience for you. However, yeah, if you do this again and you want to have a group do this, don't call me because I'm not doing it.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. All right.
But no, what you said was great. Good. And yeah, if anybody is interested in it out there, I mean, of course, Josh is very open on Twitter and on our Facebook page as well. I'm sure he'll tell you all about the experience. And you know, if you want more information, just talk to him. But hey, the other thing you left out, though. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You said I left out something?
Yeah, but you did leave out, you know, we're bringing this up on the Call podcast. It's a Ravens podcast. You did this, of course, in very Josh fashion, literally fashion. You had your Ray Lewis shirt on while you did it. So, I mean, that was the first thing I noticed in the pictures, too, except for your face.
I'm glad you noticed that. And obviously, apart from skydiving, I hate to say this, but that was that shirt I got from Ray Lewis's boot camp. No excuses.
It was right around this time of year last year, right?
Yeah, it was in August.
Or no, 2 years ago. 2 years ago.
2019. And yeah. We did it on the hottest day of the summer. And apart from the mental challenge of actually like blocking all the bad juju out and actually just jumping off an airplane and trusting the instructor, I'm not kidding, man. The Ray Lewis boot camp was probably the hardest thing mentally I had to do. Because, you know, I got muscular issues, I got shoulder problems, and like, it's about like the mental challenge of testing your limits. I mean, it was the first time I'd done yoga and I'm like stretching and I'm like, this is weird. And like, that was a grueling challenge because I actually thought it was going to be indoors. And then when I found out it was going to be outdoors in this, like, imagine when you went to the camp yesterday and it was like a heat advisory. Yeah. I think it was like in the hundreds. It was like, yeah, I remember getting alert. It was like heat advisory for the Baltimore area. And I'm like, what? Imagine that kind of weather. And you seen like, and obviously I know the Ravens practice morning, we were doing the boot camp, like I think in the middle of the day, like around lunchtime. And I was like, imagine that kind of heat, but like really like pushing yourself. And I'm like, apart from the skydive, that's kind of why I wanted to wear the shirt. There's no excuses. Like just go all in and do it. But, you know, it was something that I was like actually planning my wardrobe. I'm like, what am I going to wear? And I got people's opinions on it. I want to wear a cotton t-shirt, got to dress for the weather. And I'm like, as soon as I saw that shirt, I'm like, that's the shirt I want to wear. So I'm glad you recognize that. Someone who didn't know what it was, they called it the Mufasa t-shirt. I think it was my cousin who said that, and I laughed so hard. I'm like, yeah, it does look like Mufasa. So, it has a great story, but I'm glad you recognize that. But not only did I skydive that 2 weeks ago, but the very next morning, I went to Ravens practice myself, got the experience practice. And then I know you just went yesterday. We're recording this, obviously, the Thursday prior to the preseason game, 2 days away. You know, I didn't get to experience Lamar. I know you get to see, you got to see him. You know, obviously that's the star attraction, right? We understand everything runs through Lamar, you know, and I can share with, you know, a little over two weeks ago what my experience was at camp. But since yours was fresh, and I know I've done a lot of talking with my skydiving trip. I kind of want to take a break, but I here want to hear what you saw with Lamar under center at camp. I know you were able to bear the heat out of practice. How's practice? What did you see, you know, from the players? Did you talk to any fans out there? What were the fans saying? Is everybody excited? What was the atmosphere like? What was going on?
I mean, everybody, you know, I think we've all been in the house for 18 months now. So I think that, you know, people going out and being able to do anything, people are excited about that. So, of course, you know, Ravens fans, they love going to the castle and going to training camp. So there was a lot of excitement in the air. Everybody wanted an autograph. And, of course, they were not doing, you know, meet and greets after for the kids. Marlon Humphrey and a couple other people do throw footballs out at the end. But, you know, that it's, you can't really get close to them and talk to them, that kind of thing. So everybody was really excited to see that. And everyone wanted to see what Lamar was doing. There was where I was sitting, there were a lot of drills for the three quarterbacks. And Lamar looked great. I mean, my only concern isn't really Lamar. It's the fact that we've got guys like Rashad Bateman who are coming in who were practicing earlier while Lamar was out due to COVID. And now Lamar's back, and now Rashad Bateman's out. So it is a little concerning thinking about, you know, Rashad's going to have to be on the same page with Lamar with literally no practice. So that was something that Hayden Hurst had an issue with, if you remember his first season, and then Hollywood Brown, right, his first season had the same problem as well. So,
and he's out right now, too, with hamstring.
Right.
Not that he's in his third year, but yeah.
Yeah, there are a ton of injuries right now, which is a big concern. I did get to see Big Ben Cleveland for a little bit, but he was only around for about a half hour.
Isn't he big?
Practice.
Him and Villanueva both.
Like, yeah,
but Cleveland is big country for a reason.
Yes, holy moly. Yeah. So it was great to be there. It was great to see Ronnie Stanley back. He's not in full pads yet, but he did look like he was able to move around a lot. It looked like that ankle, it was okay. He didn't have like leg pads or anything. He was still in shorts yesterday. So it seems like this team is being rebuilt To a sense, almost. But there definitely are a lot of openings and a lot of issues. Like I said, I watch the quarterbacks a lot. That backup quarterback position, I think, is still up in the air. Like, it could be Trace McSorley's, but it could be the other guy as well. I think that's what this preseason game is really going to be about, is solidifying some of those spots. Like, I did get to see Bradley Bozeman. He looked good in center yesterday for a little bit, but I think everyone's being so precautious in this preseason, since there is one less preseason game. So I think a lot of these guys are missing practice because, you know, come September, you know, it's the regular season. You gotta win as many as you can. And this is going to be a rough season ahead of the Ravens. I don't think the Ravens making the playoffs. I mean, I know we're in training camp right now and I'm bringing up the playoffs, but the Ravens making the playoffs is not a guarantee. This is a very tough schedule coming up. So I think that Harbaugh and the rest of the coaching staff knows that, and they are being very precautious on who is on the field and who isn't. Cause I think something like 22 guys missed yesterday and today. So
yeah, it was crazy number.
Yeah. So I think they're being very precautious of what they're going to do. But it was great to be at training camp. I got to go to the training camp at the stadium as well, which was a lot of fun. But being at the castle, seeing the guys working on everything, I mean, Tucker putting on a show as usual, you know, you got to see him do his thing. But it looked like the guys that are healthy, that are out there, they're working hard. There's a couple, you know, guys that are there for maybe a practice squad spot that I wasn't impressed with, but like, there, nobody really, I guess Prochet is probably the only guy I want to say really stood out to me as being like, oh, this guy, he's putting the work in, he's working hard, he could be a starter come September. But besides that name, I mean, nothing really jumped out at me as being like, yeah, this is the future, this is the guy going forward.
Well, you know, speaking of that, we certainly can understand that standpoint. What'd you see about Watkins? I know when I saw him with the backups a couple weeks ago, you know, obviously he had a drop right in front of us and then redeemed himself with a nice long catch. I believe it was for a touchdown. But what I've been hearing in the weeks since, in the days since, I want to hear your thoughts, you know, with now we understand Bateman's out and, you know, in talking about that unfortunate setback, you know, was involved in a play where he pulled his groin. You know, the diagnosis has changed over the last few hours. Before it was like, okay, it was, you know, nothing major, it was minor, and then it was going to be out a few weeks, not months. And then all of a sudden this morning it was like, oh, he's getting surgery, he's going to be out till September at some point get back. So, you know, you're going to lose him for maybe what, the first two or three games of that. If they say he comes back in September, we might get him back for week three, week four, maybe. It's a huge setback, only because, and I want to segue that and tie everything in with what you see with Watkins, because now I feel like Sammy Watkins now has to step up with Marquise Brown being out with a hamstring problem. We understand Bateman's going into surgery. So right now, I feel like the top two targets in the passing game are Watkins and Andrews. And I understand James Prochet is having a camp and making a statement for this roster. You know, there's one point where he was the first guy on the field out of the whole team. So like, he's making a statement, he's putting in the work. So, you know, if I had to say with the wide receiver room, Boykin looks like the odd man out right now, just because James Prochet, and with drafting Tylan Wallace, I think Tylan Wallace makes the roster along with Bateman. But what's unfortunate, I want to say this about Bateman, is I did hear NFL Network cover it, that when the coverage that came, they said when he's in, he is the true number one receiver for the Ravens. Like, he's the deal. Like, everybody, Marlon Humphrey said it, the real deal. The NFL Network correspondent said that, I think yesterday. I was watching NFL Network covering Ravens camp on Inside Training Camp Live on NFL Network. They actually said when Bateman's in, he is the real deal. Like, he's making plays. He's the true number one receiver that the Ravens lacked. You know, because we understand Hollywood's the go guy. Go get him. He's the top off the defense burner guy. Bateman's that true number one. So that's, you know, that's where I'm excited to see him come back. But what have you seen as far, did you see Watkins do anything in practice that made you go, okay? Because I hear a lot of talk that he's rejuvenated, that he's ready to go.
Personally, yesterday when I was there, I didn't notice anything spectacular from Sammy Watkins at all. Okay. So I was trying to keep my eye out on who was playing with who and who was with what group or whatever. But as far as like where I was sitting, I never really saw Sammy Watkins.
Understand. Yeah. And the only footage, and again, that's where obviously the media comes in the play for us. You know, there are eyes and ears out there, right? They see it firsthand, and I see the accounts, firsthand as practice ends, and I get a recap, and I hear that Watkins is that's the word I keep hearing, rejuvenated. He's refreshed. He's focused. But speaking of focus, I don't know if there's a more focused and locked in player than what I'm hearing like Marlon Humphrey do. That was analysis. I think Jameson Hensley broke it down. Marlon Humphrey's locked in on every snap of this camp. Yeah. So, I mean, he's leading by example. I was present for his first interception. I was present for the second day of camp ever, because obviously the first day of camp was when I was jumping out the plane. Their second day of camp, Marlon got the first pick of the camp. So, he jumped right in and made immediate impact. You know, 44 is just a stud as we know it. So leading by example in the defense. We understand Ronnie Stanley's made his way back, participating in a few late drills. So we're starting to get some pieces back. I feel like this is a complete team. We know we made the addition with Justin Houston. I heard Odafe is having a camp. Right. I heard his name come up tremendously in the last couple of weeks. I heard
He's been out the last 2-3 days, I think.
Cleveland, but I don't think it's anything lingering. I think it's just it could be a minor tweak, minor this, but I don't think it could be precautionary. When I hear some of these guys are out, like you said, they go one point we had 20 guys off the roster out. I don't really panic with that because I understand that, you know, they can give the guys off. They might be minor dinged up, but we'll see what comes of it. But Bateman's the real concerning situation right now.
Yeah, and Bateman, Cleveland, and Owe all out. I mean, that doesn't bode well for the 2021 draft class to have those guys all out at the same time. So that's definitely a concern, but again, we are in training camp right now, so health-wise, it doesn't sound like any of them are out long-term, but you just worry about the camaraderie with the other players. Like, you know, we talked about it. Hayden Hurst and Lamar Jackson, they never really got on the same page. And we saw, you know, Hayden Hurst, he went down to Atlanta, and I believe he even got released by Atlanta this past offseason. But that's where Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson really were able to bond. And, I mean, that's one of the strongest connections he has still to this day. I mean, when I was there, I think that was his favorite target on Wednesday at training camp. Lamar's favorite target, of course, was Mark Andrews. So I think that's the biggest concern, is that you're not making those connections with your quarterback or anybody else that you're playing with, really, if you're out on the sidelines. You know, that's what you need. That training camp is for you to become a cohesive unit. You know, full teams win championships. It's not just, you know, one guy, unless you're Tom Brady.
Exactly right, and they got to get the reps in. I mean, it's hard when you're patchworking the team. You know, one guy's in, one guy's out, one guy's off, one guy's hurt. But you got to make do what you got to make do with, right? And we understand, you know, folks are going to go down. I mean, and the Ravens are the only one dealing with this. I mean, there's injuries all across the board. I mean, what happened? It wasn't even training camp, right? It was was it OTAs or mini camp? Cam Akers for the Rams went down first time he touched the field. It's a big, huge, and we talked about that before, right? It's a huge blow to that franchise and, you know, what they got going on there in their running game. You know, there's other folks getting hurt. There's quarterbacks that were dinged up. I see it all the time. You know, I'm on this app that not only gives you Ravens news because I get the Bateman news and everything going on there, but it's all across the NFL. It's one of my fantasy apps that keeps you up on the injuries and depth chart moves. And, you know, it's literally every day. It's every hour I get 3 or 4 notifications oh, he leaves with a hamstring. He leaves with a sore thumb. He's banged up going to the locker room. But, you know, not to single out the Ravens in that regard. But again, all teams are doing it and they have to kind of plug and play. I'm like, okay, well, he's going to be out for a while. You step up. But then that could also be, you could see some unsung hero come up and go, where did he come from? You know? You know, they were actually breaking it down. I saw on Instagram, I don't know if it was the NFL's official Instagram, but they were reviewing Stephon Diggs's rookie year preseason, or I don't know if his rookie, it had to be his rookie year or preseason. Like, it was before Diggs just emerged out of nowhere. And it was like, he was having a crazy preseason. Everybody was like, who's this guy? Like, sometimes you do find those diamonds. You know, if somebody gets hurt, someone can step up. Like, hey, Bateman can be, you know, Bateman's going to be out a month. You know, James Perse's been putting to work. What if James Perse steps in and goes, you know what? Hey, guys, I'm going to fill that void. And he steps up in a big way and helps the passing game. Brandon, this passing game was dead last year in the NFL, and I think that's why we really panic here. I'm not one to panic just yet because, again, it's a minor setback. It is our rookie receiver. It's not like it's a veteran receiver who's like we traded for or signed it for agent. We want to see Bateman on the field. We drafted him high for a reason. We don't want that to go to waste already, but it's kind of like in regards, you know, hey, you know, I'd rather it happen now than week 4 or 5 when we're trying to stack up wins, right? You know, if we can get a 2-1 record or whatever time he comes back or a 3-0 record and we get Bateman back, you know, again, you know, I mean, what the Ravens did last year without Ronnie Stanley, you know, Ronnie Stanley goes down and what was it, week 5 against the Steelers? I can't remember which was week. I don't even know what the week that Steelers game was. I look back on the schedule, but remember we thought the whole, it was doom and gloom. Oh, we can't run the ball. The Ravens still finished first in rushing first.
Right.
And they lost Ronnie Stanley, who's like, apart from Marlon Humphrey, what, the best paid player? You know, I think that regard because he just got the big contract. So, you know, there's sometimes you just really got to look out for, you know, yeah, the injuries can be impactful, but there's a reason why the depth chart's the way it is, and it's why we have practices. So there's a lot of uncertainty right now, and there's a lot of concern. Like, okay, well, we're missing this guy. And what's going to happen? We haven't even played our first official preseason game yet, and I know things are looking like they're unraveling, and we got to get the passing game addressed here, but, you know, people are hurt. We understand that, but, you know, I feel like this Ravens offensive line is the best under, you know, Lamar's leadership as far as the quarterback position. So, and then we understand now that Mark Ingram's moved on, J.K. Dobbins is the guy. We understand that Gus Edwards looks awesome as well. So the running game's going to really thrive there with the line. And I feel like we can just get that passing game under rack and then we track. And we understand Lamar's got to be better. Crisper throwing outside the numbers. Again, man, you know, dynamic player or not, got to do better. This team was dead last in passing. We know it. Everybody knows it. They know they're going to run the football 9 times out of 10. You know, a big part of, I think, why it broke down last year, just couldn't pass the ball against the Bills. I mean, we were right there. We just couldn't let develop, and the Bills knew that we were going to run, and we got away from the game plan. But that's neither here or there. But we'll see what happens. But the injuries, let's hope they just stop now. Bateman gets healthy, ready to rock in September, and bring it back to his true form that he was prior. But, you know, we'll see how it progresses. It's certainly concerning.
Yeah, there's a lot of concerns. I think Lamar does look good. You know, it is a concern that he missed the first 10 days of training camp. He did get COVID for the second time. So, you know, we want to make sure he's in the shape that he should be in at this point to start the season. And do you think we're going to see maybe a little bit more Lamar than we normally would in the first preseason game, since he did miss all that time to kind of give him more reps on the field?
I think so. I mean, I know Harb has been hush-hush about that strategy. I think we're going to see him, especially now there's only 3 games versus 4. I think because he did miss that, they're going to have to give him at least a quarter or two to get acclimated.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, too. Since it's only 3 games instead of 4, what's your thoughts on the shorter preseason?
I mean, as a fan, I love it. I know the players aren't too thrilled if you go to player side, but I'm not an NFL player. But I think it's pretty cool. They're adding a 9th game, extending the season. It's going to be interesting. It's for one with numbers and records. I don't like the odd number of games. It's like you have 9 home and 8 away. I'm like, why don't you just make it even, you know, just or eliminate the, I know they can't go, you know, bite off more than they can chew. They got to start baby steps. Like, okay, now we're going to progress one, but I heard this goes over well in the next year or two. I think their goal is to move another preseason game, make it 2 preseason and 18 home and away, 9 home and 9 away. But right now, if they don't make that immediate impact in 2022, it's going to be an alternate. So next year, the Ravens are going to get 8 home and then 9 away, trading off. Cause I talked to some teams. I think the Eagles, I talked to some Eagles season ticket holders. They got 8 games. The Ravens have 9 this year. So, in their season ticket plan up there, up the road. So, but now I like it. I mean, it's going to be unique. I mean, the Ravens one and only home preseason game is a Saturday, the next 2 on the road. You know, they're all Saturday games, which is great. Remember how usually it used to be like the Ravens play like every Thursday in August. And it's like Thursday games, man, you have to get off work, get down there and get in. I'm like, at least it's a Saturday game. So I'm excited about that and the way they run things there. But no, it's going to be interesting to see how it works out. Also, not only that, but for NFL records, right? You know, NFL records that were a 16-game set, you know, could it take that extra game to get broken? Who knows? So it's going to be interesting as far as, you know, the historical part of NFL, but then taking a step forward is they're expanding it. You know, they start, I don't know what the original schedule was of the NFL, but I remember, I mean, I wasn't obviously around this time, but I understand that they used to play a 14-game schedule, and I think that's where the Miami Dolphins were undefeated, and the Patriots did them too better, even though the Patriots didn't win the title and finish it. But Patriots did win 16-0. They went on to win two playoff games that year and were 18 in a row before they lost in the Super Bowl, so 18-1 record in that year. You know, so that's still unprecedented, 18 straight games, no matter how stretch of them you do it. That's a feat. So, I mean, you know, for that 17th game to be added, it's going to be crazy to see how the record books stack up now of, you know, not to say there's an asterisk, because I mean, this is a permanent move. This isn't temporary. This is like, no, we're doing it. And then if things go well, we're going to make that 18th game and keep it at 18. So it's kind of what I understand with the NFL. So we'll see how it all pans out, but I'm all for it. You know, for me, more meaningful football is always good as fans, but again, it's a love hate relationship with the NFL. Fans love it. It's more football, more fantasy, more money, more revenue. You know, and that's where the owners and the league comes into play. But then the players are like, well, we got to put our buys on the line. But, you know, again, you know, I guess you got to take the good with the bad, see how it goes. I mean, across the board, I pulled some people. Some people like it. Some people are like, nah, she just left it alone. But I'm excited for it, man. It's going to be unique. But how's your thoughts on it? Are you for it, against it, in the middle?
I want to see how it goes this year, but I'm a little bummed that it's not four games, just because I like the fact that you can do two home, two away, and usually it's they kind of stay kind of close. So really, if you wanted to, you could go to all four if you wanted. So I'm a little bummed that there aren't two home games, that they're on the road twice. The Saturday games, I don't know. I kind of liked the Thursday night game, at least to end the whole thing, because it's usually like the Thursday night before Labor Day. And, you know, you don't, if you are working that Friday, it's usually not that intense. So it's like you could really enjoy that last preseason game the night before. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Preseason is preseason. There's, like we said, there's a lot of holes on this team right now that need to be filled. And I want to see who can show up and who can play out. I mean, how many times has it have we taken an undrafted rookie and it's because of the performance in the preseason? I mean, look at Michael Pierce. He was a nobody. I mean, no offense to the guy, but when he was in college and he was undrafted, he was a nobody. And him and Brandon Williams worked so well together. Boom, he made the team, and he was a part of this team for a very long time. So preseason is important. Yeah, it's not as fun to watch as the normal stuff. And if you do go to a game, you can probably leave at halftime. But, you know, there's a reason for those preseason games. I want to see that undiscovered talent kind of show up and show off and do what they got to do. Like I said earlier, backup quarterback position, I think, is wide open right now. Who's it going to be? You know, who is going to take that backup spot? Because we know Lamar, you know, every season he's been here, I don't think he has been able to finish, you know, a full season on the field. That backup quarterback always comes in almost, you know, so many games. I mean, look at the Cleveland game last year and look what happened. You know, Lamar had to leave and then Trace had to come in and then Trace got hurt. And Lamar had to run back onto the field after having cramps and finish the game. RG3, we saw him plenty of times on the field in that first season that Lamar was here, where he kind of came in for Joe Flacco. So that backup quarterback position is really important. Are we going to get the best player with just three preseason games? I don't know, but it kind of puts the pressure on the player right now. You got to show up. You got to play hard now, because your chances are even more limited than ever.
Absolutely, man. And given that, I'm actually not too concerned about Lamar missing time, or even if he doesn't play a lot. Here's why. You just brought up a point. Remember last year, you know, Lamar, whatever situation happened, cramps, whatever. Cleveland Brown Monday night game. Legend. Yeah, exactly. Cleveland, yeah, he still denies it. I don't know what was going on there. We never will know. I think that's – if I had one of three wishes, I probably would wish to ask Lamar what was really going on, because we all would love to know. I hate to lose a wish on that, but I think it's just a Baltimore mystery at this point. Like, what really happened? But we know the end result. It was one of the most prolific moments in Ravens history. And probably one of the classic top 10 games ever all time in the franchise's 20-plus years. But anyway,
100%.
Yeah, man. But that's exactly why I'm not concerned. Lamar missed like almost what 2 4-quarters of the game during the game, came back in the exact moment we need him with one play to go. It was fourth down and threw a freaking touchdown pass. And we all know, obviously, that he had to go basically drive the team again for the game-winning field goal with Tucker because Browns answered at that point. But it was the eventual game winner. It was, you know, put the Ravens in the lead. But, like, that's why I'm not too concerned, because we've seen Lamar just literally just come out of nowhere and be like, okay, boom, flick a touchdown to Marquise Brown like it was nothing. He literally just came trotting on the field, get his helmet, and came back in the game. So Lamar's not a rookie. You know, yes, we understand he needs to be better. We understand that, but as far as, like, him getting practice and time, everybody needs practice. I'm not saying Lamar doesn't need practice, but for me, I'm not concerned if he doesn't get reps in the first preseason game or if he only gets them in the second and he doesn't play. Now we understand we can have a conversation to go around and around and around about time off and buys. We understand what happened in 2019, right? Ravens had their Marner received first-round bye. They didn't play the final regular season game, so they had 2 full weeks off. Then came in and got ran out of the gym or the field or whatever stadium, you know, by the Titans. Titans came in, smacked them right in the mouth, and the Ravens looked like they were standing still, like they didn't know what they were doing. So, you know, yeah, you can take each situation for what it is. But again, we've seen Lamar come in and just orchestrate an offense. He threw at the time a game leading to put the Ravens up, then orchestrated a final drive for the game win. So, you know, for Lamar, you know, he's entering the kind of the prime, the not a veteran status yet, but, you know, he's going on year 4. You know, he was drafted in 2018, played half the season in 2018. This is his third full year, his fourth year in the NFL. So by any stretch of the means, I'm not concerned if Lamar doesn't get reps in preseason game 1. You know, I'd like to see what happens in game 2, and then he needs more practice. But as long as the man stays healthy, we're good to go, right? No major injuries, nothing going on there. So that's kind of where I'm at with Lamar and, like, time, and does he need to get reps? Everybody needs reps, Brandon. We understand. Sure. And I'm going back to do it. I'm not saying he doesn't practice, but just that's my 2 cents about it. It's, you know, we've seen him do it. I'm confident he can come in and start getting it done, but we understand he needs to improve. And that's where I think folks worry with him and getting time on the field and getting time for reps. It's like, you know, and it's that love hate, right? When's the right time, you know? But how many reps does he take before you take him out? Is he going to get hurt? But and I was kind of edgy with some people this weekend because we just had the first of unofficial preseason game, the Hall of Fame game, Cowboys Steelers to kick off the festivities. And I know a lot of folks, I listen to NFL podcasts and fantasy podcasts alike, and they're like, what's Chase Claypool doing? Because obviously we understand he made a great catch, but then, like, fell on the football and got the wind knocked out of him, and he was fine. Everybody was like, yes, like, what's Chase Claypool doing on the field in a meaningless first preseason game? The starter shouldn't even sniff the field. Like, obviously, like, Ben wasn't dressed. Juju Smith-Schuster wasn't playing. We saw Najee Harris first look because we understand he's a rookie. We understand Dak Prescott was hurt, but, I mean, Zeke was dressed on the sideline but didn't play. It's like, what are these guys out there? But I'm like, you can see Chase Claypool was fine. That Bateman didn't even play in a game and gets hurt in practice, just like Cam Akers got hurt in camp or practice. So it's like, for all these guys, and I want to preach this once, for all these, again, we all have our opinions. I'm not saying nobody's right or wrong here, but relax. Like, don't shout from rooftops why is Chase Claypool in a game is going to get hurt when then players are getting hurt in practice. Like, you can get hurt. Football, you're going to get hurt. Whether you're playing in preseason, regular season, postseason, camps, you're going to get hurt. It's a contact sport. You do funky things with your body. I'm not an NFL player, Brandon, but we know what these guys do. We see it. We watch them in practice, in person training camp. We go to the games. We know what these guys do. And they put their bodies on the line, right? So, you know, it's a contact, physical, demanding sport. So you're going to get hurt. So that's why I kind of tell people when they're all talking crazy talk, you know, I'm just going to engage with you and say, you can have your opinion, but you're going to get hurt no matter what you're going to do. And you can't save these guys. You can't put them in bubble wrap, because what are you going to do? Not play Lamar all preseason game. And then his first snap ever is going to be week 1, first snap of the game. Then what happens? What happens if they fumble the exchange? And then you're going to bark, well, they should have practiced. He should have reps. But then every time he gets reps, you're all fearful he's going to get hurt. I'm like, pick a side. And I get really annoyed with fans who just, you know, again, it comes down to opinions, but just, like, have some substance behind it. Like, take a step back and go, just, it's going to be okay. And I think that's what we all flip out about, because again, I think because the Ravens have dealt with this for so long with hurt players and inconsistencies, and it's like, oh, there goes the season. Somebody got hurt. I mean, it's what happens. The Ravens go back to any stretch of the means. You know, you've seen, we can go down the number of players that were impactful that got hurt. You know, Terrell Suggs, Achilles, Dennis Pitta, hip injuries, Joe Flacco, knee, like all these crazy injuries, you know, Ray Lewis, triceps, you know, for the Super Bowl year, like all these crazy injuries that happen. And you're like, we understand, we want them safe, but there, I mean, there's a, we can't control it. There's so much we can do, and it's deep. If they get hurt, they get hurt. But there's no right amount of reps. There's no wrong amount of reps. There's no right way to when to pull them, when to not play them, how many quarters, how many minutes to play them. There's no formula for that. Just trust the process. And if it happens, it sucks. But what, Brandon, what can me and you do if you know, Lamar doesn't play in the first preseason game and Trace McSorley gets hurt, he's gone for the year, or Huntley gets hurt? You know, it's stuff. I don't want to wish that, but I'm just saying there's hypotheticals, like the backups could get hurt. And we saw it in the Cleveland Brown game. Lamar's out for a quarter plus. Where'd he go? And then Trace McSorley gets hurt, and we're like flipping out, like, oh no, the game's over, right? And then here comes Superman to save the day. Like, it's a part of the game, but it's, that's the drama about it, right? You don't know what could happen. And you know, you hope through a 17 game regular season, including, you know, more games with postseason and preseason, like you said, the healthiest team and the most cohesive team and complete team always make it to the end, right? You know, you look at the finalists this year, Bucks and Chiefs. Rarely did they have their stars hurt. You know, like, they were a complete team. Like, it wasn't like Tom Brady was out for the year or Mahomes was out or the Chiefs were missing Kelsey. Like, you look at the teams that are there at the end, they find their stride, they're winning football, but they're also, they're taking care of themselves and they're avoiding the injury bug. But sometimes it bites a team and sometimes it doesn't. It's one of these unvariables in life, unfortunately, we cannot control. But it's just always a topic, because I know we all get scared, especially with the Ravens. And then now people are flipping out like, oh, we're cursed at the receiver position. You know, Marquise Brown's nowhere to be found. Now Bateman's out. It's like, oh, here we go. And then people are labeling these guys a bust. It's certainly uncalled for when they haven't really touched NFL action, but right. Things happen, but I don't know. It's unfortunate. And we can really slice and dice the injury and playing debate all day long, but no one's right or wrong. Like, you could disagree with me and say, well, yeah, they should definitely be careful and they should monitor, but it's like, but you see it. My point is, you can get hurt no matter where and when, and it can sneak up on you, and it just happens. And I just hope for, you know, you want all 32 teams to be healthy. I don't want any of these NFL players to suffer any setbacks, but if you're talking for the Ravens concern and for the success of the team, you just hope at least the Ravens are healthy and get through some things. And we just wish everything but the best for Bateman. And you got Marquise Brown banged up. We want these guys back. They want to be back on the field. The coaches, everybody wants everybody back full strength. Just I guess count the blessings that's not major. And it's like, you know, career, not career ending, but season ending, like Cam Akers, you know, it happens. So, but again, we can see who steps up and makes the roster. And then when they get back and healthy, ease them in and put them in right away. But to that point, and I'll digress, is there's two variables with Bateman getting hurt, right? It could be the Ravens run a hard camp. But then I was talking to my dad about this yesterday, and we were talking about this back and forth. It could be also, too, the rookies are trying to really impress. Oh, they drafted Bateman, what, top 32 pick, right, the NFL draft. He was sure. The first-round pick. So he wants to go hard and impress. So it could be a lot of these guys push hard, quick, out the gate, trying to get acclimated to the speed of the NFL, and they're not there yet. Bateman just got drafted out of college and trying to get up to pro speed, and then he pulls his groin. Now he's got to have surgery. Like, again, we're not football players, but to me, I just look at it that way, too. When the rookies a lot get hurt in the second, third-year players, they're just trying hard. And but then who knows? I mean, I'm not saying the Ravens run the hardest camp in NFL. I don't know what kind of camp in comparison to the other teams they do, but I know the guys grind. Everybody grinds, and it's hard work out there in the summer heat. But, you know, injuries happen, and we just hope it stays minor and they get back on the field quick and make an impact for us. Because we're all excited, right? We're all excited to get them back.
Sure. The other thing you got to think about too with these rookies, and I mean Bateman being the, I mean he's hurt, he's out for a while, so we don't really want to include him in this though. But a lot of these rookies getting hurt and missing practice, you got to remember, like, this is their first year in the NFL. They are rookies. Practice in the NFL is way different than practice in college. So a lot of these guys are probably used to practicing a certain way like they did in college, and then they get to the pro level and realize, oh, yeah, you got to do this. Like, it's way more intense. I mean, I'm assuming I didn't play college football, so I'm assuming that it's way different than what they would have known beforehand. So maybe they are pushing themselves a little bit harder, but maybe the practices are a little bit harder too, you know, that they're what they are used to. So, I mean, it's a learning experience for everybody involved here. So, Ben Cleveland and OA missing practice the next couple days or last couple days. I'm hoping it's nothing to worry about, and it's just them conditioning and getting used to the pro level. I mean, they're going to need that time. And that's, again, why preseason is so important. They need to get used to being in the pro field and what they have to bring to a game every single week. I mean, it's a rough schedule. So we'll see what happens moving forward with the rookies. But like I said, I want to know what the backup quarterback situation is going to be like for the preseason. I want to see them out on the field. I also really want to see how Bradley Bozeman does in center. He's switching positions. And from what I understand, this is what he did in college. He's doing really well at training camp. But if you remember that terrible game, that god-awful game against the Buffalo Bills that we had to sit through, that was one of the first times that the Ravens had played in front of a packed arena, or packed stadium, I should say. And they got a little thrown off by the crowd noise. Like, I remember specifically bringing it up on this show, even, that Bradley Bozeman got a flag and it was a false start or something like that. And he looked over at Lamar and they did a close up of his face. And he says, "I can't hear you," because the crowd was so loud. So I want to see how Bradley Bozeman does at center at a new position with fans back, because I'm pretty sure the preseason game in Baltimore is sold out. Whether people actually show up, like, and use their season tickets or whatever, that's another story. But all intents and purposes, tickets have been sold. They are sold out. You should hear a packed crowd there at M&T Bank Stadium on Saturday, which I love to see. I'm so happy to see that happening. But Bradley Bozeman and the rest of the team, they may not be used to that anymore. They went a whole year without playing in front of crowds. And, you know, with the way COVID's going and the numbers and everything going up, you know, there's a chance they might not play in front of certain crowds in certain cities this coming year. We don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, that's a factor. They're going to have to figure out what it's going to be like. You know, it's almost like relearning how to play, because you're going to have these factors like noise and the crowd and all this stuff going on around you, how to play that. Bradley Bozeman starting a new position at the pro level. I'm interested to see how he does. I think he'll do fine. I'm very happy with him being at center, but that is something to look at in this first preseason game.
It is, and especially how the line's going to shape up. I mean, last I looked at the projecting starting lineup, I think Patrick McCarry was the projected center, and then I understand Bozeman was getting some snaps there as well. So, again, I feel like this is the best line that they've had here in recent years. Yeah. We'll see how it goes and how they address it. So I'm certainly excited to be a part of the process to analyze all that and see how it shakes out. And Bozeman gets the crack under center. Great. You know, right now I think he was, you know, listed, I think right now is the guard, I think the left guard, if I believe it or not. And Kevin Zietler was brought in as the right guard, and we understand that Stanley's the tackle there. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. If there's the line shuffling there, but yeah. Should be good to go.
And there's a big piece missing, Orlando Brown Jr., now with the Kansas City Chiefs, part of this O-line here. So it'll be very intriguing to see what this O-line does in this first preseason game, because I was a big fan of Orlando Brown Jr., and I liked what he brought to the table. It sucks to see him go to Kansas City, because, you know, we're probably going to have to go through Kansas City if we want to get to the Super Bowl. But that was a big cog that's going to be missing from the Ravens this year. So we'll see what happens there. We really, you know, this is kind of crazy. I guess all the question marks really are on offense, and we haven't really brought up defense at all this show. And I think that's because I think both of us are pretty happy with how the defense looks, how training camp has been going for them, and with the addition of Houston coming to town. That's a huge, huge get for the Ravens. And now that he's here, I think the whole way they play defense is going to be different, because I think that's going to free up space for a lot of other talent on the defense to be able to focus on different things that they're probably more comfortable with. Because Houston, I mean, it's a whole different dynamic with him on this team.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, he adds another dynamic facet to the pass rush game. And I feel like what was once weak has now gotten even stronger, even with the departure of Matt Judon. And, you know, obviously it's addition by subtraction, and then addition to, you know, even more addition, you know, Away's been emerging in camp as a great contender for pass rush. They got Justin Houston. I mean, I know he lost, you know, Matt Judon, Yannick Ngakoue, you know, some of the starters there from last year, really couldn't get to the quarterback, but I think that's something to really be said. You know, you got Brandon Williams on the line. Derek Wolfe is back. So I think you're really going to see that. And I feel as far as a linebacker core to really make an impact, Patrick Queen is just, he looks awesome, motivated, flying around there. We already know our secondary is probably one of the best, not the best in football. You know, Marcus Pierce, Marlon Humphrey, we know Jimmy Smith suffered a setback, but he'll be fine. And then you got Tavon Young back there. You got Deshaun Elliott. Big time, big time.
We got Tyus Bowser, who I got to meet a couple weeks ago.
There you go. So
gotcha. I'm showing Josh the autograph here.
I was trying to figure out whose signature that was. I was looking, like, I see a four. Now I see the 5-4. I was like, I see you were holding it up. Yeah. I was like, I see a four. Tyus Bowser certainly going to emerge there as well. You're right, not to discredit the defense or just help it, but we understand a lot of this talk is going to be about this Ravens offense, from our progression passing game, the rookie receivers, Wallace, Bateman, injuries to get healthy, the line with all the new additions of Villanueva, Kevin Zietler, with some of the shuffling there, losing Orlando Brown, getting back Ronnie Stanley, which is great. So there's a lot there. The running game, you know, with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, I heard a lot of pundits, especially, you know, for our fantasy guys, J.K. Dobbins should have a monster year. They're projecting like 12, 1300 yards, multiple, you know, 10, you know, double digit touchdowns, have an even better year than last year and really push hard. So lots to be excited about there on the defensive side. And don't get me wrong, there could be concerns there as well, but it's kind of like they've addressed it. We understand they're flying on all cylinders. Let's see. There's really no big injuries on that front, but we understand that, you know, let's see what happens, right? You know, the last thing you want is that unit to get on the field in preseason or rest season. They start to get carved up, and then now we're going to break them down and go, okay, we thought the offense had issues. Now the defense got issues. But, dude, we know what they're all about, man. The Ravens have had a defensive mindset in this team for years, still continues the pedigree to this day. And then with adding some pieces there, they did. I mean, Justin Houston's a great addition. Again, turning down more money to play for the Ravens, and as well as turning down a Steelers offer as well. So he knows where he wanted to be. He stressed it. You know, he was vocal about it. I'm going to play with Baltimore. I'm going to play for Baltimore, and they made it happen. Justin Houston, back in his career, is now a Raven. We couldn't be more excited to have him.
Yeah, I was telling my girlfriend as we were going into training camp, I was like, imagine being from another team and you come here to the castle and you see this facility. I mean, just the where it's located. I mean, it kind of looks like a hidden gem. You'd never expect something like that to be on that road, and to pull up to that, like, that's a selling point to me. Like, I'm going, oh, I want to play for these guys. Look at where I get to work and drive my car to every single day. This place is great. So, that's definitely a fun experience, and that's a huge selling point. If you've never been able to go to the castle, you know, it's definitely a sight to be seen. So that was a blast. Josh, what else should we cover for this show? Have we covered everything? I mean, this is first preseason game. It's this Saturday. It's let me see if I can find the it's going to be on WBAL locally here on NBC. Starts at 7 o'clock. I mean, up against the New Orleans Saints. I mean, I don't think we really have to break down the Saints or anything, because it's kind of figuring out who the team's going to be for that regular season. But everyone's bringing up the Ravens are undefeated in the preseason. Do you think the Ravens can keep that streak going?
I think they can. I mean, it's, we know the games don't matter. It's a fun stat to talk about. It's been a streak for the ages. We always joke about it. You know, I mean, we've seen it before. There's no real weight on the impact because, I mean, we've seen the, you know, we actually seen the Lions win all four of the preseason games at that time and then go 0-16. Seen the Browns do it before, I think, but I know the Lions did it, or it might have been the Browns. One of the two winless teams in the NFL history did it. Ravens have done it too. We've seen the Ravens like win all four preseason games and then going to have like a bad year or mediocre year. I mean, there's no way to it, but it is a fun thing with the Ravens that, you know, like Harbaugh will tell you, like the main goal for preseason is healthy. Get the guys in, get the reps, get them out healthy. But he ultimately says you definitely want to win the game. You know, you don't want to get slacked 44-0 in a preseason game and then, but then everybody's healthy and act like everything's fine. But, oh, I don't care if they lost 44-0. As long as everybody's healthy, no. Because then you're like, then you're picking it apart. Well, what's going on? His team looks atrocious. So there's a lot to do. But, I mean, ultimately winning the games don't matter, but it's always fun to come out on that edge. So it's going to be interesting.
So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
We have covered everything on this inaugural, actually officially starting the season show. Quote the Raven, nevermore. Let's go, baby.
All right. Well, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianJQ52.
Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social, on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. Leave us an Apple Podcast review, and then also follow us on Facebook. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out or any kind of news breaks, we will be the first to let you know. We are constantly posting over on the Facebook page. I mean, without the Call Facebook page, would you guys have known that Friday Night Lights is back on Netflix? The whole series back on Netflix, commercial-free, yes. In HD? I mean, sure, you could probably watch it on Peacock as well, but there's, at least for me, there's commercials. But Netflix, Friday Night Lights, it's up there. You can go check that out. Happy to see that's back. I love that show. But I think that's it for the show. So, Josh, preseason game one up against the Saints. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much, as always. I'm glad to be back with you talking Ravens football. It's one of those bittersweet moments, right? We love to talk Ravens football. We love the Ravens around here. The season's coming up, but it just means the summer's ending. But we get...
Bring on pumpkins!
I know. Hey, aren't you ready for tomorrow, Friday the 13th?
That's right. That's right, I am.
You love it, man, every time. I know you get pumped more about fall and that holiday than anything. I love it. But I told you, I was like, I actually saw a meme, even though it was pretty funny. It says somebody goes, because like, you know, you get excited when fall's coming, when the Dunkin' and Starbucks always turns over and gets their pumpkin spice out and they're all like the fall line. And someone goes, someone said, please now put down your pumpkin spice. I'm not finished my margaritas yet for summertime. So that was pretty funny. So I had a good laugh at that because you know how it is. Summer is always short, and those winter months are always long because it's cold and we look forward to it. But it's the big love-hate, right? We're getting football for the next, 6 months? So
yeah,
let's enjoy it. Now it's the official season has begun. And not only that, but I'm stoked. I reactivated my fantasy league. We already got two fantasy drafts set on the books, for early September, right for the season starts. So for all of our fantasy guys, we're excited to be back doing what we love to do, playing fantasy football, doing the DraftKings, revving it up. Football's back. We're all excited because we understand as the ever-involving situation with the stupid pandemic we're dealing with still. But as of right now, it's all systems go. We should be having fans full capacity as far as we're concerned here. I like to see what the crowd looks like Saturday night for the first unofficial game, whether it's meaningless or not. It's the first time that really, other than the Orioles games, that fans can really congregate and do actual football, like tailgating, doing living, you know, enjoying people's fellowship. So it's going to be interesting to see how that looks. And then the next time the Ravens convene at M&T Bank Stadium will be week two against the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. And let's hope this time, just like the home Monday night game against the Chiefs, number one, it's a different outcome, but two, it's a packed flock stadium ready to go. Because I've been circling that since I knew fans were coming back. I just hope it's not taken away from us again. But
we should mention, if you are going to the game on Saturday, that there is a mask mandate since it is Baltimore City.
Yep.
So make sure you check out the website and get all the correct information about when you have to wear a mask, where you have to wear it. There are
I went to the dentist this week and I had to call him. I'm like, I didn't see it on their website. I'm like, do you guys require one? Because I've been going everywhere and you just know, we've all been out and about this summer. We understand that things, different states, different. It's just different everywhere and just don't know. But yeah, the Ravens, thanks for bringing up the Ravens. They change it right now. It's not like it was when I went where it was just everywhere. It's only in the indoor spots, club levels, restrooms, like the tight close quarters. But when the fans are in the stands, it's freedom. So no worries there. So again, guys, I've seen some comments. Just read the story in full. And then again, if you're not comfortable going, put your tickets out there and give them to somebody who wants to go. I mean,
Ravens fan that wants to go.
Yeah, and that was my next point. Don't sell them to third parties and get these other fans. Well, especially regular season, but I think it's all in all, I'm just happy to actually get to go to a Ravens game and be back, like to actually get my own seat, because I haven't sat in my own seat in over, it's been nearly 2 years since I've sat in my actual seats. So, because when I went to the Steelers game, obviously it was 5,000 capacity and it was lower level only. So, so I'm excited to actually get to use my tickets. I got them downloaded on my phone. I got the parking pass. I'm ready to go. And that's what I'm excited about. And I'm excited about actually like getting down there and actually like, we get to do something for a change, like get out of the house, get to actually go downtown for a Ravens game. So I'm excited about it. See how the ever-changing season, but let's hope for the sake of it, the NFL does it again, pulls it all out. And just hope it again for all the players, safety, everybody safe and sound this year. And we're getting to it, man. Back to football, back to what we love talking about and love getting involved in and getting back to what we do best. And, on the call, I was talking Ravens football, and we're all here. We're all glad to have you back. Glad to be interacting with each and every one of you out there on the call Facebook page and getting the conversations going. And it's going to be a great football season. We can't wait to get the Ravens game started on Saturday night, seeing how the team looks under the lights in M&T Bank Stadium, inviting the team back, having fans in the stands, rooting them hard, making noise. We had some fans at camp. We've had some fans at practice. Now we're going to have fans at the game. So we're back 2021. Let's get to it. We've got the goals at hand. Can the Ravens make a fourth straight playoff berth this year and go even farther? And the Ravens in under Lamar's direction, right? They got the monkey off their back. They got a playoff win last time, right? Finally got it. Over so close to get a second one. Didn't happen for us. It was all within reach. We understand. But there's more work to do. It wasn't meant to be. Let's see how this team stacks up. We're ready to go. Ravens flock, are you ready? Ravens Saints is kick off the preseason and the official start of the Ravens campaign for 2021. How about it? Back at M&T Bank Stadium all together. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Hopefully we don't lose in the preseason. We love that streak. Anyway, we know it. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.